Vatican bank scandals and Jesuit Swiss guards. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Exodus 20:25. The original trade of Freemasonry was the construction of luxury places of worship and majestic cathedrals. However, it was a tradition of men not rooted in Scripture. Consistent with Exodus, such an enterprise personifies pollution because it reshapes belief into a crude money-making business. Artificers and builders are basic suppliers, hewn stones are costly, and merchants are tight-fisted. After some time, paying off accelerated so greatly that a foremost house of worship turned out to be a den of thieves. Railway tracks in the snowfall plowed into the side of the Alpine Mountains. Lapels and scarves blustered like flags from the icy breeze of Valhalla's portals, shielded by Jesuit Swiss guards. Vaults, fixed in place by Bavarian bankers, were primed to stockpile the bulk of the earth's gold bullion, valued in weight by carats. Swiss guards, Schweizer Guard, are the Swiss soldiers who served as bodyguards and traditional palace guards at European courts. The legend of the Swiss Guard dates back to the 15th century when some Swiss mercenary regiments served as troops in various armies. Pope Julius II founded the Papal Swiss Guard in the 16th century. It is the military of Vatican City, outfitted by the Jesuit Papal Bull Regimini Militantis. January 22, 1506, is the official date of birth of the Pontifical Swiss Guard, because on that day, towards the evening, a group of 150 Swiss soldiers commanded by Captain Kaiser von Seilnen, of Canton Uri, passed through the Porta del Popolo and entered for the first time the Vatican, where they were blessed by Pope Julius II. The prelate Johann Burchard of Strasbourg, master of pontifical ceremonies at that time, and author of a famous chronicle, noted the event in his diary. In actual fact, Pope Sixtus IV made a previous alliance in 1497 with the Confederates, which foresaw the possibility of recruiting mercenaries, and he had barracks built for them near where there is, still today, the small church of St. Pellegrino, in Via Pellegrino in Vatican City. Swiss Guard History, www.vatican.va. The most famous episode in the history of the Swiss Guards was their defense of the Tuileries Palace in central Paris during the French Revolution. Of the 900 Swiss Guards defending the palace on August 10, 1792, about 600 were killed during the fighting or massacred after surrender. Two Swiss officers, the captains Henry de Salis and Joseph Zimmermann, survived and reached senior rank under Napoleon. Switzerland has been a banking haven since at least the 17th century. The Swiss Bank Corporation traces its history to 1854 when private banking firms in Basel, Switzerland, pooled their resources to produce the Bankverein, an elite society that functioned as an underwriting syndicate for its banks. The founding of joint stock banks in Switzerland was initiated in the 1800s with the building of railroads and the industrialization of the Alps. Four Swiss Guard infantry regiments were employed by Napoleon. Secluded deep within the Swiss Alps, two old military bunkers used by an international clientele now serve as maximum security vaults, called the Swiss Fort Knox, for secure data storage in the resort towns of Sonnen and Zweisimmen. Their impregnable cement walls made them the perfect places to store digital data. Switzerland may be famous for its banks, but not many people know about the one that lies hidden underneath the Alps. The cavernous underground vault, which is protected round the clock by armed men in black fatigues and has blast and bulletproof doors, is strong enough to withstand terrorist attacks and natural disasters. But when it was first carved out below a mountain in the Swiss town of Sonnen half a century ago, the vault was designed to withstand a different kind of attack won by the German army. It used to be a World War II bunker, and, like thousands of other old bunkers around Switzerland that had stood empty for decades, it now has a second life as something else entirely. Helena Bachmann, Switzerland's World War II bunkers get a second life, Time, July 24, 2010. The Swiss military dug over 20,000 bunkers in the Alps. The price for buying an old bunker ranges from several hundred to $2 million. but some of the bunkers can't be rented or sold because they are still used by the military. There are cloud storage centers all over Silicon Valley. There are the NSA's data centers, which do similar things, but the permissions are, at least in theory, different. In his series Deposit, Swiss photographer Jan Mingard reveals another type of data storage facility, the privately owned bunker space within which individuals, companies, and even nation-states secure their most precious code, papers, and in some cases, genetic material. Pete Brook, see what's buried in the Swiss bunkers turned into secretive data centers, Wired, September 29, 2014. The Swiss guards met with danger when assassin Mehmet Ali Aga shot and wounded Pope John Paul II in 1981. One of the Swiss guard equivalent of privates, halberdiers, murdered the newly appointed Swiss guard commander and his wife in 1998. When Julius II founded the papal Swiss guard back in the 16th century, defending the pope wasn't such a safe job. In 1527, three quarters of the Swiss forces were killed during the sack of Rome. Then in the 19th century, attacks on the pope increased as Italy was becoming unified, and the Swiss guard had to disperse crowds with gunfire. Christopher Beam, what does the Swiss guard actually do? Don't let the ostrich feathers fool you. Slate, June 6, 2007. Today, Swiss guards receive a tax-free salary and advanced training in unarmed combat and small arms. Swiss bank confidentiality protects the privacy of bank clients, but the guarded ways of the Vatican Bank damaged the church's reputation. The Knights Templar Military Order of the Crusades administered a large economic realm throughout Christendom. They formulated monetary rules that were an original type of banking. Their leaders were burned at the stake in 1307 by order of Philip IV of France. The Vatican publicly condemned usury, interest charged on borrowed money, but behind the scenes found ways to circumvent it, exchange rates. Particularly disturbing in recent times was the link between the Vatican, Swiss banks, and the Nazi regime. Beginning in September 1939, Hitler swiftly conquered country after country within Europe. By June 1941, Switzerland's neutrality became a beacon of hope. Increasingly severe restrictions and persecution of Jews caused many to search for safety. Thousands of Jews tried to hide themselves as well as their money in Switzerland. As Jews reached Switzerland's borders, they were turned away. It had become easy to recognize Jewish passports since Germany had begun affixing German Jewish passports with the letter J for Jude, Jew in German, in 1938. The Germans did this at Switzerland's request for an easier way to identify Jews coming to its borders. Though Switzerland did accept 65,000 civilian refugees, tens of thousands were turned away. During the war, the Nazis stole gold, jewelry, and other valuables from the millions of Jews they murdered. The Germans needed a way to place these commodities in the international market so that they could use the money they received in exchange for their war effort. The Swiss helped facilitate the exchange in addition to holding Nazi accounts. Many speculate that some of the gold that the Swiss accepted were the dental gold and wedding rings taken from Jews at the camps. Nazi gold, Jewish accounts, and Swiss banks, About.com, July 23, 1997. The Swiss banks, after a long wait, set up a $1.25 billion compensation fund for Holocaust victims. The Vatican Bank, or Institute for Works of Religion, IOR, has been involved in a range of additional scandals, including mafia money laundering, political bribery money, and anonymous numbered accounts. The Holy See sought to get rid of corruption and other abuses at the bank, which handles the church's funds. The main depository for the Vatican's gold is the U.S. Federal Reserve. Globalists nowadays aim to set America against Russia. The People's Republic of China will consequently surface as the world's major globalist force, which neither Russia or America really want. If Chinese commerce mushrooms too fast, it could prove to be detrimental to both China and the world. The term Great Recession applies to both the U.S. recession officially lasting from December 2007 to June 2009 and the ensuing global recession in 2009. 56% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck having less than $1,000 in their checking and savings accounts, Forbes reported. Nearly a quarter have less than $100 to their name. Greek Prime Minister Kostas Tsimitis showed George W. Bush the first Eurocoin in 2002. Although the global economy was already feeling the grip of a credit crisis that had been unfolding since 2007, things came to a head a year later with the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers, the country's fourth largest investment bank, in September 2008. The contagion quickly spread to other economies around the world, most notably in Europe. As a result of the Great Recession, the United States alone shed more than 7.5 million jobs, causing its unemployment rate to double. Further, American households lost roughly $16 trillion of net worth as a result of the market plunge. Great Recession, Investopedia, 2014. Hardline policies of the Federal Reserve and other central banks tried to avert a downfall of the global economy. While discussing the central bank's quantitative easing policies in 2013, one of the world's richest men, Warren Buffett, said the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank was the greatest hedge fund in history, but another billionaire criticized the program, calling it a reverse redistribution of wealth. "This is fantastic for every rich person," said hedge fund manager Stanley Druckenmiller. "This is the biggest redistribution of wealth from the middle class and the poor to the rich ever." Commentators Max Keiser and Gerald Salent said investment stocks skyrocketed partly because the central bankers were riding the stock market and directly buying up stocks to pick up incredible investment income, via automated high-frequency trading. Conspiracy theorists of the world, believers in the hidden hands of the Rothschilds and the Masons and the Illuminati, we skeptics owe you an apology. You were right. The players may be a little different, but your basic premise is correct. The world is a rigged game. We found this out in recent months, when a series of related corruption stories spilled out of the financial sector, suggesting the world's largest banks may be fixing the prices of, well, just about everything. Thus fumed a Rolling Stone article in 2013. In the Libor scandal, perhaps as many as 16 of the biggest banks were manipulating global interest rates, and in the course they stage-managed the prices of upward of $250 trillion worth of financial resources. Word also leaked out that the London-based firm ICAP, the world's largest broker of interest rate swaps, was being investigated by American authorities for conduct that sounded firmly reminiscent of the Libor mess. Regulators were looking into whether brokers at ICAP worked with the world's largest banks to manipulate ISDAFIX, a benchmark number globally used to calculate the prices of interest rate swaps. "It's a double conspiracy," says an amazed Michael Greenberger, a former director of the Trading and Markets Division at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and now a professor at the University of Maryland. "It's the height of criminality. Matt Taibbi, everything is rigged, the biggest price-fixing scandal ever," Rolling Stone, April 25, 2013. An unprecedented 2014 lawsuit filed in Manhattan federal court accused 17 of the world's behemoth banks along with the British Bankers Association of rigging the London Interbank Offered Rate, LIBOR. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, was suing on behalf of 38 failed banks it had to take into receivership since 2008 as a result of the manipulation. The European Union was on the verge of Brexit. Banks named in the suit include three of the four horsemen of U.S. banking: J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup and Bank of America, along with Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, UBS, Societe Generale, Royal Bank of Canada and the four horsemen of British banking: Barclays, HSBC, Lloyds and Royal Bank of Scotland. Dean Henderson, Goldman Sachs and the Age of Parasite Capitalism, Hwatsupik, March 16, 2014. While world wealth had reached a record $263 trillion, it was concentrated in fewer hands. Journalist Naomi Klein said President Trump's election was a corporate coup d'etat. She criticized the role of corporations inside the Trump administration, from the former head of Goldman Sachs to the former chief executive of ExxonMobil. Trump said no other peak consultants were to be had, but he would aim to change the system. An amazing chart from economist Amir Sufi, based on the work of Emmanuel Saez and Gabriel Zucman, shows that when you look inside the 1%, you see clearly that most of them aren't growing their share of wealth at all. In fact, the gain in wealth share is all about the top 0.1% of the country. While 9/10 of the top percentile hasn't seen much change at all since 1960, the 0.01% has essentially quadrupled its share of the country's wealth in half a century. It turns out that wealth inequality isn't about the 1% v the 99% at all. It's about the 0.1% v the 99.9%, or, really, the 0.01% versus the 99.99%, if you like. Long story short is that this group, comprised mostly of bankers and CEOs, is riding the stock market to pick up extraordinary investment income. And it's this investment income, rather than ordinary earned income, that's creating this extraordinary wealth gap. Derek Thompson, How You, I, and Everyone Got the Top 1% All Wrong, The Atlantic, March 30, 2014. The wall of secrecy began to break. A fourth-generation employee from the Bear family to work at the Julius Bear Group Bank said, a large amount of sorting out of the past still lies ahead for Switzerland and the many other countries that are keen to shine light on its banking system and clients. Raymond Baer said Swiss politicians must realize their homeland would not be able to play in Champions League of financial centers if it kept using secrecy rules from its past. David Walker, Swiss banking secrecy is history, says Julius Baer chairman, Investment Europe, April 11, 2012. Britain's Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson, who served as the Mayor of London, renounced his U.S. citizenship in 2017. Johnson was born in New York to British parents. He left the U.S. when he was 5 years old, but remained a dual citizen. Unlike most countries, the U.S. taxes its citizens on all income, no matter where it's earned or where they live. The rules can sometimes result in surprise tax bills for Americans who live abroad. At first, Johnson refused to pay, saying the IRS was after him for the sale of a London home. Charles Riley, Boris Johnson has given up his U.S. citizenship, CNN, February 9, 2017. In 2012, J.P. Morgan Chase closed a Vatican account in Milan after the IOR was unable to respond to questionable money transfers. The VataLeaks scandal, as it came to be known, was based on over 4,000 internal Vatican documents. The Institute for Works of Religion, IOR, commonly referred to as the Vatican Bank, is a privately held financial institution located inside Vatican City. Founded in 1942, the IOR's role is to safeguard and administer property intended for works of religion or charity. The bank accepts deposits only from top church officials and entities, according to Italian legal scholar Sedimio Caridi. It is run by a president but overseen by five cardinals who report directly to the Vatican and the Vatican's Secretary of State. Because so little is known about the bank's daily operations and transactions, it has often been called the most secret bank in the world. Avi Jorisk, The Vatican Bank, The Most Secret Bank in the World, Forbes, June 26, 2012. In May 2012, the Vatican said the director of the Vatican Bank, Ettore Gaudi Tedeschi, had been removed from his post for dereliction of duty. Police had confiscated a secret dossier from the reluctant Vatican Bank director. Mr. Gaudi Tedeschi declined to comment on his dismissal. He told journalists, "I'd rather say nothing, otherwise I'd say ugly things." Vatican Bank Chief Tedeschi dismissed, BBC News, May 24, 2012. A huge scandal overshadowed the Catholic Church and the focal point was finances. Vatican officials were quarreling over the future of their bank. While several wanted transparency, dubious transactions from the past and present jeopardized the church's reputation. The documents confiscated from Gaudi Tedeschi, a former confidant of the Pope, provided Italian law enforcement officials insight into the innermost workings of the Vatican Bank. The secret dossier includes references to anonymous numbered accounts and questionable transactions, as well as written and electronic communications reportedly showing how church banking officials circumvented European regulations aimed at combating money laundering. Spiegel sketched out the events that would lead to the departure of Pope Benedict XVI. The drama unfolding in the Vatican is now heading toward a climax. First, it was Il Corvo, the Raven, whose revelations about life in the court of the embattled and exhausted Pope Benedict XVI caused months of unease. Then came the arrest of Paolo Gabriele, the Pope's butler, whom the Vatican has fingered as the source of the private papal correspondence that was leaked to the public. And now the scandal surrounding Gaudi Tedeschi is providing a possible motive for the Catholic soap opera, money. The Pope had apparently tasked the financial executive with making the Vatican Bank more transparent. But by approaching his task with perhaps an excess of zeal, Gaudi Tedeschi upset powerful forces within the Roman Curia, the Vatican's administrative and judicial apparatus. Several high-ranking officials within the Curia viewed the bank, officially known as the Institute for Works of Religion, IOR, as something akin to a trust company for clandestine monetary transactions that is not only used by the church, but allegedly also by the mafia as well as corrupt politicians and companies. In one of the seized Gaudi Tedeschi memos, he wrote, "I've seen things in the Vatican that scare me." Andreas Wasserman and Peter Wensierski, Transparency versus Money Laundering, Catholic Church Fears Growing Vatican Bank Scandal, Spiegel Online, July 2, 2012. The Vatican is both a country and the seat of the Roman Catholic Church. The Vatican Bank is housed in what was once the papal prison, a bleak tower built in the 15th century and attached to one side of the Palace of Sixtus V, the Pope's dwelling. The Vatican Bank called together its first ever press visits in 2012, but television cameras were banned and journalists had to submit their questions in advance. Addressing a restricted number of correspondents on the first ever press visit to the Vatican Bank, its managing director, Paolo Cipriani, could scarcely be expected to recall its involvement with Banco Ambrosiano, whose boss, Roberto Calvi, was found lifeless and dangling by the neck under Blackfriars Bridge in 1982, or the claim by Holocaust survivors that the bank took in gold looted by wartime Croatian fascists. He merely alluded briskly to that veil, that shadow that comes from the past, and then plunged back into an account of the bank's efforts to satisfy international requirements on transparency. But the IOR could scarcely find a more reassuring face to turn to the outside world than the bespectacled and ever so slightly chubby one of its genial managing director. He admitted that he had found it difficult to adapt to the ways of the Vatican after a lifetime spent in commercial banking. He ended by draping across the front of his lectern a t-shirt he had been given by another banker with "anti-money laundering expert" and a representation of a washtub emblazoned on the front. At one point during his presentation, he clapped his hand to his mouth after saying nuns could not open accounts because they have taken vows of chastity. Looking just like a choirboy heard using rude words in the vestry, he said, "I meant poverty." Inside the Vatican Bank, silence, secrets, and Latin cash machines, The Guardian, November 28, 2012. The corruption of Jesuit radicals obliged Pope Clement XIV to suppress the order in 1773. As soon as they regrouped within the Bavarian Illuminati of the Enlightenment and forced deep-seated atheism into various academic circles of Europe, Pope Pius VII gave limited approval to the survival of the Jesuits. Religion controlled the uneducated masses for millennia. A scientific schema of religious obligation could capture yet further political power for Rome, even if atheist Jesuits imposed it. Pius VII restored the Jesuits in 1814, after Clement XIV was perhaps poisoned. The nickname assigned to the leader of the Jesuit order is the Black Pope. His official title is the Superior General of the Society of Jesus. Though more recently established, more traditionalist movements and religious orders such as Opus Dei and the Legionaries of Christ have gotten more attention of late, the Jesuits are still far and away the largest clerical order in the Church. Indeed, The order was founded with a special mission to directly serve the pontiff, and has been dubbed the Pope's Cavalry, engendering suspicion in the past of conspiracies and secret powers. Even popes, including John Paul II, have criticized them for their apparent autonomy. "Yes, we are in the vanguard of the Church," says José de Vera, head spokesman for the order. "It is not our job to just repeat the catechism, but to do research. Sometimes looking for real truth, you can step over the line." Just last year, 2007, the Vatican's Doctrinal Office issued a notification to Spanish Jesuit scholar John Sobrino, a proponent of Marxist-inspired liberation theology, for what they called erroneous, and even dangerous writings. Most Jesuits steer clear of offending the Vatican hierarchy, focusing on frontline missionary work amongst the poor and oppressed. Noted in particular for their vast network of schools and universities, the Jesuits are widely considered the day-to-day educational and intellectual motor for Roman Catholicism. Keith Pecklers, who teaches liturgy at the Gregorian University in Rome, has lately been working on an education project in the hinterlands of Mongolia. Whereas a Benedictine is centered around his monastery, the Jesuits' life is the road. "The way we've achieved our credibility is getting our hands dirty, getting involved in issues of countries." Still, the order is facing many of the same challenges that face the entire Church, including declining numbers of clergy, especially in Western Europe and North America, and the tricky balancing act between faith and politics. Jeff Israeli with Francesco Peloso, Jesuits to elect a new black pope, Time, January 4, 2008. As the world descended into the Great Recession of 2008, Peter Hans Karl Venbeck became the first black pope to ask for, and receive, papal permission to retire from the post. Adolfo Nicolas replaced him as the 30th Superior General of the Society of Jesus. Ignatius Loyola was a Spanish soldier who started the Jesuit order in 1536. He was arrested by the Inquisition, but was released and then offered himself to Pope Pius III, who chartered the Society of Jesus in 1540. Loyola set out to establish a military order. His spiritual exercises were basic preparations for all of his Jesuits, to gain access to and take back what the Vatican had abandoned to the Protestant insurgency. Catholic nobles, with lots of money, donated castles and schools and money to the Jesuit order. The Jesuit headquarter right outside Vatican City is called the Jesuit Curia. According to Eric John Phelps, author of The Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends, 2000, Loyola had been a member of the Spanish Alumbrados, which is what we call the Illuminati today, and he used the Jesuit order to attempt to regain back what had been taken by the Reformation. Napoleon, after his arrest, claimed, "The Jesuits are a military organization, not a religious order." During his incarceration on the island of St. Helena, he wrote in his memoirs, "Their society is by nature dictatorial, and therefore it is the irreconcilable enemy of all constituted authority. Every act, every crime, however atrocious, is a meritorious work, if committed for the interest of the Society of the Jesuits, or by the order of the General." General Montholon, Memorial of the Captivity of Napoleon at St. Helena, 1886. Propaganda II, Italian, Propaganda II, likewise known as P2, was a black pseudo-Masonic lodge operating illegally from 1945 to 1981. Headed by Licio Gelli, the lodge was implicated in numerous Italian crimes, including the Vatican Bank scandal, the death of Pope John Paul I and the murder of Vatican bankers. Along with Italy, P2 was also active in Brazil, Uruguay, and mainly in Argentina's dirty war. P2 was frequently referred to as a shadow government or a state within a state. Among the lodge's collaborators were prominent members of parliament, industrialists, military leaders, journalists, and members of the mafia. Licio Gelli died in 2015, aged 96. In March 1981, a list of supporters was found by the police in Gelli's house in Arezzo, containing over 900 names, among which were very influential state office holders, several of them in the Italian secret services. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi was on the list, before he entered politics. Another eminent associate was Victor Emmanuel, Prince of Naples, the current head of the House of Savoy. Prime Minister Arnaldo Forlani was forced to resign, causing the fall of the Italian government. P2 was operational in the Gladio secret NATO paramilitary organizations. P2 was implicated in the 1980 Bologna massacre as part of the Gladio Strategia della Tensione NATO clandestine organization, which in the 1990s led to the opening of investigations by the Italian Chamber of Deputies. It had been alleged that P2 was involved in the assassination of Prime Minister Aldo Moro, murdered by the Red Brigades. Banker of God Roberto Calvi's connections with Licio Gelli became a spotlight of press and police probing, and caused the lodge to be exposed. It became the target of attention as an after-effect of the folding of Banco Ambrosiano, partly owned by the Vatican, and the suspicious 1982 death of its president Roberto Calvi in London, initially ruled a suicide but later prosecuted as a murder. P2 received finances from the CIA and was involved in the Iran-Contra affair. Since the beginning of the 1970s, P2 was used for clandestine drug trafficking. It was done secretly to prevent the public from knowing about its connection to the US government. In many cases it was done directly through the offices of the CIA in Rome and in some other cases through CIA centers in other countries. According to an interview given by former CIA agents Richard Brennecke and Ibrahim Raisin to RAI journalist Ennio Romandino, P2 received money from the CIA and was mixed up in the Iran-Contra affair. According to Ibrahim Raisin, P2 was at the center, one of the main participants in the illegal arms traffic, which was connected to the drug traffic from the outset. P2 also made a substantial contribution to the recycling of large amounts of money used for this arms and drugs traffic from one country to another. Richard Brennecke added, "The P2 was involved in the operation for which I ended up in court, that is the delay in the liberation of the American hostages in Iran in 1980, known as the October Surprise." P2 was implicated in Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme's assassination in 1986. A member of the Republican clique around George H.W. Bush received a telegram signed by Licio Gelli and sent by one of his men from Brazil. The telegram said, "Tell our friend that the Swedish palm will be felled." According to writer Eric John Phelps, the Vatican controls all of the drug trade, all of the heroin, all of the opium, all of the cocaine, everything going around in Colombia. If Rome didn't want the drug trade out of Colombia, they'd end the Concordat. The whole drug trade is run by high mafia families out of the country of Colombia, subject to the Jesuit general. In 2005, the United Nations chief prosecutor for war crimes claimed that the Vatican was sheltering Croatian war criminal Ante Gotovina. For those familiar with post-World War II history, the incident had shades of the Ratlins. To anyone familiar with this sponsorship by the Vatican State of the Nazi escape routes, it will come as no surprise that Carla Del Ponte, the United Nations chief prosecutor for war crimes, claimed that the Vatican is sheltering Croatian war criminal Ante Gotovina. Reuters news agency reported Del Ponte as claiming, "I have information he is hiding in a Franciscan monastery and so the Catholic Church is protecting him. I have taken this up with the Vatican and the Vatican refuses totally to cooperate with us." Ron Fraser, "The Vatican shelters a war criminal," TheTrumpet.com, September 23, 2005. Ante Gotovina was captured in the Canary Islands in December 2005. He was found guilty on April 15, 2011, and sentenced to 24 years of imprisonment. Thousands of furious war veterans staged a march in the Croatian capital in protest. On November 16, 2012, Gotovina was pronounced not guilty on all charges by an appeals panel and immediately set free. Carla Del Ponte was shocked by the verdict. The name Black Pope comes from the color of the black priestly vestments worn by the Jesuits. Dan Brown's novel Angels and Demons, 2000, made into a film with Tom Hanks, is a fiction of how a black pope coaches the Holy See and also manipulates the modern-day Illuminati. An incredibly influential order, members of the society were heavily involved in European politics from the offset. Jesuits were implicated in plots to overthrow Elizabeth I. They were also associated with the gunpowder plot to destroy Parliament, after James I made the order illegal. During this time, all Catholics in Britain were told they must recant their Catholicism or face death. The term Jesuit was first applied to the society as a reproach and was never employed by its founder, though members and friends of the society later accepted the name. The Society of Jesus, who are the Jesuits? BBC, March 14, 2013. The Pope of Greenwich Village is a 1984 American film starring Mickey Rourke. It chronicles the lives and relationships between Italian-American gangsters and the mob. After the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI, some observers were concerned that the Society of Jesus, or atheist-educated wing of the Church, might give undue authority to a black pope to administer the global politics of organized indiscretion. Religious reviewers such as Rick Martin have suggested the actual black pope shoulders assassins to protect black lodges and dispense the black mass a malevolent liturgy devoted to Lucifer. His instrument of authority is the Black Hand, an alternative name for the Mafia, or Cosa Nostra. As alleged by Eric John Phelps, the Jesuit general is in complete control of the international intelligence community. The Jesuits are like the SS of the Catholic Church. The theater of connections doesn't spread faith but preserves radical atheism of the modern military-industrial complex secured by contract hitmen as the power of Rome or Babylon portrayed in the biblical Revelation. The Jesuits had brought in all of their top Nazi SS soldiers into the CIA because the Jesuits were using the SS to kill the Jews in Europe. When the Einsatzgruppen went into Russia, the Jesuits followed with the SS and purged Western Russia of all its Jews. After his arrest, the mafioso Giovanni Brusca described the ceremony in which he was formally made a full member of Cosa Nostra. In 1976 he was invited to a banquet at a country house. He was brought into a room where several mafiosi were sitting around a table upon which sat a pistol, a dagger, and an image of a saint. They questioned his commitment and his feelings regarding criminality and murder, despite him already having a history of such acts. When he affirmed himself, Salvatore Raina, then the most powerful boss of Cosa Nostra, took a needle and pricked Brusca's finger. Brusca smeared his blood on the image of the saint, which he held in his cupped hands as Raina set it alight. As Brusca juggled the burning image in his hands, Raina said to him, "If you betray Cosa Nostra, your flesh will burn like the saint." Wikipedia.org. On April 30, 1966, Howard Stanton Levy shaved his head in the tradition of ancient executioners and changed his identity to Anton Sander Levy. He founded the Church of Satan and proclaimed 1966 as the year one, Anno Satanas, the first year of the Age of Satan. The Los Angeles Times and San Francisco Chronicle newspapers dubbed him the Black Pope. Satanist Black Pope Levy died in 1997. April 30, Wicca Walpurgis Nacht, was the date of Adolf Hitler's unobserved suicide. 1966 was the reported year of Walt Disney's death, rumored cryonic suspension. The year of Anno Satanas fanned the flames of tales of old Babylonia, centered in Nebuchadnezzar or the Jesuit general himself, with the Hebrews getting ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar.